All right. It's me again. Yeah, I'm not as nervous as I was before, so that's a good thing. And thank you, Jody, for the scripture that you read. First of all, it is my favorite scripture. Of course, you all probably know that. But also, it is a great prelude to the lesson tonight. So thank you for letting God lead you. All right, so let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to congregate together again. Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Thank you for allowing those of us who could get here to get here. Thank you for allowing those to be able to tune in on Facebook. We ask that you cover those who are not here, Lord Jesus, and that your word goes out the way that you planned it, not what I think or say, but what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I started preparing this, and as I was putting things together, I was thinking, Lord, none of this makes sense to me. because throughout the time that I was studying for the lesson, the Lord gave me different things at different times, so I would write these things, put them in my phone, and no order, no rhyme or reason. And so when I did get ready to do this, it really didn't make any sense. But God has a plan that this is not a two-part lesson, it's a three-part. So if you like what you heard before and you like what you hear tonight, then I'll bring in the third one. All right, so you're right, third time's a charm. So this one is titled Freedom from Debt Part 2, From Stress to Blessed, with a subtitle, Get Your House in Order. Okay, so again, my disclaimer is I am not a financial advisor. I'm just a person who believes God wants me to be the lender and not the borrower. So, into the list. Oh, before I get into the lesson, I wanted to show you guys something. So when I do my budget, I tend to just use something like this. A little book that I like when they have little sayings on them. This one says, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Psalms 20:4. And so if you have these plans to get out of debt, then that would be the book for you. Okay, so, but what I like to do is I write everything in here, and I also do it as like a checkbook. Those little ledgers are so small, I cannot read. I'm getting older, and I can't see as well as I used to. So I like to use these. And after the lesson tonight, I do have a few that if you would like one, you are more than welcome to have one. If you're single, of course, you get one. If you're married, you get one. All right, so get your house in order. Merriam-Webster states that it is to improve or correct the way one does things. AnswersToAll.com says that it is to arrange your affairs and solve your problems. So the question for you is, do you have areas in your finances that need improvement or need to be corrected? The answer is yes, because we all do. Including me, even though I, you know, work my budget, I still have some areas that I could improve, okay? Now, another question, have you already started to make changes and create a budget? If you have, good for you. Keep up the good work. If you haven't, why not? I'm just asking. Do you enjoy being the borrower, the tail, the slave to the lender? Are you afraid to let some habits go, like copy, shoes, purses. Shoes was really hard for me, I'm just telling you. Very hard, but I did it a little bit. But Romans 12:2, the King James Version says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Passion Translation says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes." So, it's okay to let some habits go. It's okay to be on a budget. It is okay to not follow the trends. Okay? So, in getting your house in order, the Lord gave me Isaiah 38:1-5. And I thought, what in the world does that have to do with finances? But God had an answer for me. He did a parallel comparison of Hezekiah's situation versus your debt situation. Now, I'm not going to read 1-5, but I'm going to kind of give you the gist of what he says. So, that's not true. I am going to do it line upon line, okay? So, verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." So, how does that compare to your finances? Hezekiah was sick. Your finances are sick if you're in debt. Hezekiah was to die. Debt kills bank accounts, dreams, relationships, etc. So, yeah, there is death. Verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord." Hezekiah prayed. I'm sure you've been praying over your finances. Verse 3, "And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Hezekiah reminded God of how he followed him and how he had done good things. You should remind God how you've been a faithful tither, if you're a faithful tither, and you've blessed others in his name. Verse 4, "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying," so God gave Isaiah a word or a message for Hezekiah. God gave Carla a word or a message for his people. Okay, I'm just kidding. But on a serious note, God truly will send you a word. Verse 5, "Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto you thy days 15 years. So Isaiah told Hezekiah that God heard his prayers, saw his tears, and added years to his life. God hears your prayers, he sees your tears, and will bless your situation. May it be a financial blessing, a zero balance on a bill that you never paid off, a raise on your job, a new job plus a raise and some bonuses. You just never know. Benefits. So to me, it all made sense after the Lord explained it all to me. And so in that, we tend to add. So we look at our situation, we look at our finances, and we're adding up the costs. But God multiplies. and he multiplies the little that we have to accommodate what we don't have. So then one of the things that I did not mention in the first lesson is that you should pay yourself. I know that sounds crazy, but you should. You've worked hard, especially on your budgeting, and you should have something for yourself. So after tithing, again, after tithing and bill paying and credit card lowering, future saving, charity giving, include yourself in the budget. I pay myself $100 every 2 weeks. That's every pay period. And so what I do is I give that to myself. I can spend it as I please because it is everything else is paid already. All the bills are done, so that is my money to do whatever I choose to do. Now, you may want to pay yourself more money if you can afford that, or you may want to pay yourself less money. Just know that it is just personal money. It's money that you have to buy that Starbucks that you've been wanting, that you've been sacrificing, you know, to create your budget. And so whatever I don't use, I transfer to my savings, and then I start all over again with $100. And so I have, you know, with doing that, whether I transfer $99 or whether I transfer 99 cents, it's still an increase, okay? So when I see an item that I want to purchase, guess what? I purchase it. Yeah. Why? Because I saved up for it. And don't look shocked, I know. El Cheapo, Ms. Frugal. Yeah, but I'll buy it because I literally did save up for it. It's not coming out of anything else. And since I can afford that, you know, that's what I do. But does it happen often? No, I'm still frugal and I have my limits. So another thing God spoke to me about is being the beneficiary. And you know, most people, when they think of a beneficiary, they think of it's when someone dies. Well, Christ died for us, but he rose again, so our God is still alive, okay? And so we get the benefits while he's alive, okay? And so God wants to bless his people, and I have a plethora of testimonies to prove it, but we don't have that much time. So I am proud to say that I am a beneficiary of Ephesians 3 and 20, which says, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so I decided to look up beneficiary in the dictionary. Okay, the dictionary online. But it says that Oxford says that a beneficiary is a person who derives advantage from something. So I said, okay, well, let's break that down. Derives means to obtain or to get, right? Advantage is the opportunity to gain something, a benefit or profit. It's a favorable or desirable circumstance or feature, a benefit. So synonyms for benefit, I mean, for advantage, I'm sorry, or benefit, is gain, good, interest, welfare, well-being, comfort, enjoyment, satisfaction, ease, aid, help, assistance, use, reward, asset, perk, bonus, a plus, but my favorite that it means is a blessing. So I thought, what if I changed those words and created my own sentence, right? So according to me being a beneficiary, I am a person who gets or obtains assistance from God's ability to perform Ephesians 3 and 20. I am a person who gets a blessing from God's ability to perform Ephesians 3 and 20. I am a person who gets enjoyment from God's ability to perform Ephesians 3 and 20. And so I just found that to be such a blessing. Now, with all that being said, and with my title being From Stressed to Blessed, I asked my sister if she would allow me to use her testimony. And of course, she was all excited because it's a big testimony for her. And she's told me I could use this testimony at any time because we're about to see Malachi in action, okay? So, as you all know, I love to help people if they need, you know, some ideas on how to budget, get out of debt, and things like that. And so I have a nephew who he drives, he's a trucker. And so he wants to own his own truck and all of that. And so he was asking me how could he budget so that he could save up for those things. And I told him whenever I visited my mom, I would help him out. So one weekend I went to visit, and as we were sitting there discussing what he could do, his mom, my sister, she overheard us, and she was so interested that she just came and sat, grabbed a piece of paper, and she started writing things down. And so she was like, you know, I want to get in on this too. So the first thing I asked her is, do you give your tithe? And her answer was, yeah, when I can afford it. She's like, I have all these bills, girl. I can't afford to pay my bills and pay my tithes. And I was like, nope, wrong answer. Tithes first, and then we can see what we're working with. So then, you know, I told her, I said, I know it looks like when you have a lot of bills and a little money, it looks very bleak. I said, but I also know what it looks like to have a lot of bills, a little money, and still give God what's rightfully his. It looks good. Believe me, it looks good. So after we got done budgeting, tithes first, and then everything else, she asked me, how is it possible to tithe and still afford to pay my bills and pay extra on my credit card and still have money left over? And I started to think, and I know what I told her, but then to find all of these scriptures in the Bible really confirmed it. So, according to Matthew 19 and 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark overheard him say, Jesus say this too, because he said in 10 and 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Apparently Luke was in on this conversation too, because in 1 and 37 he said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 18 and 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Jeremiah 32 and 17, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Job 42 and 2, I know that you can do anything. No one can stop you. That's the New Living Translation. Proverbs 3 and 6 in the Amplified Version, it says, in all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. And I told her, you put God first. That's why you're able to pay your bills and have something left over. So she still budgets to this day. Although she will tell you in all caps, I do not like budgeting. And I know that because she texted that to me yesterday. But she does not like it at all. But the thing that she found was the blessing in the budget. So, and she said that I could tell this, but she always updates me on her progress. So to start out, she had a credit score of 480. Yes, 480. And she was, and that's a big stress because you have all these things that you want to purchase that usually require you to have some good credit. And so I said, hey, we can do this. I said, we got God on our side, we can do this. So she, you know, still updated me on her progress. And as of Monday, her credit score is 666. Now she was nervous about that. But I told her, I said, first of all, it is nowhere near 480. That's the first thing. But I told her, that's a good number. That is a good number. That is where you, at this point, you are focused and you need to continue to focus on the task at hand. So after that, she went to a car dealership to have her oil changed in her car. And she was as she was waiting for to get the oil changed, she was looking up like Car Shield, that car protection to help you if your car breaks down. And so she saw the price and all of that. While she was getting an oil change, the salesman came up to her and asked her, would you like a new car? And this was last year. She was like, yeah, my credit is not where I can get a new car. He said, well, let me see what I can do. So he went in and he came back out and he asked her, can you afford this price? And she said, yes. He said, all right, so are you ready to sign the papers? And she thought, you're kidding, right? My credit score is not there, but God. So he told her, he said, you can drive this off the lot today with no money down. We'll just take your car. Your car is your trade. So she did the calculations, and her new car, she has a 21 Toyota RAV4. And the price of it is less than her old car plus the Car Shield. So look at God, look at God. And so she drove off the lot, she's so excited, you know, and I was excited for her, oops. I was excited for her because we were able to see God's blessing, you know, just going and going and going. And, you know, and every time she says, oh, I have to give my tithes, it's not like, oh, I have to give my tithes. She's like, hey, I gotta give my tithes, yay. So she's so excited because we all know that God loves a cheerful giver. And so I know I'm happy when I give my tithe. And so, you know, with that, she, you know, that blessing, it didn't stop. Literally, she continued to put God first, you know, by giving her first fruits. And she has, he has given her an Ephesians 3:20 blessing. She has a new job that pays well over the job she had. The job she had allows her to work 2 days a week for a couple of hours so that she can have her personal money, okay? And now she is currently on the road to home ownership. Wow. So she trusted God. She trusted the process. Somehow she trusted me. She got her house in order. and has been experiencing God's promises of Galatians 6 and 10, reaping the harvest. And according to Matthew 9 and 38, God is the Lord of the harvest. So, in essence, she went from stressed to blessed. Thank you. Thank you.